Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to call to order. We're going to have our invocation, pledge of allegiance, and then we'll do our roll call. We'll all stand.
Heavenly Father, we ask you this day to be with us so we can take the issues at hand and have conscious guidance, make sure we make the right decisions for our community. We ask that we use our voices to be supportive to those that we serve and those that we serve supportive to our board members. We ask you, Jesus, to look over our community and to make us prosperous and strong. We say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'm Lois Hall, chairperson.
Megan Porter, vice chair.
Brian Burris, member.
Kristen Pearson, member.
Shannon Munn, member.
Lilia Smith, the commissioner's office, and we have Mario from
the. Okay, we're going to have public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote will be taken on this agenda item. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board or council about items within its jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait till the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. And please stand up. We don't have a podium tonight, but clearly state your name and address and spell your last name for the record. If any board member or council wish to extend the length of a presentation, this will be done by the chairperson or the board council by majority vote. This time I'm going to ask for approval of the minutes from June 9th, 2021 meeting.
Make a motion to approve the June 9th, 2021 minutes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. This time I'm asking for approval of the August 11th, 2021 agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve the August 11th, 2021 agenda.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, we have informational items. Review that the Transform Clark County Land Use Plan map accurately applies compatible density or intensity conversions from the existing land use categories to the proposed land use categories. This is for discussion only.
Good evening, Madam Chair, members of the board. I'm Mario Benitez with Comprehensive Planning Department. I'm here to show you the land use plan map for, for Logandale and Overton. So right now, this is the Overton maps. This shows how the current colors look, and that's the proposed colors. All we're doing is basically a one-to-one change in the name of the categories and the colors. So if it's commercial neighborhood today, I don't remember the names now, it's neighborhood commercial in the new plan. But all we're doing is changing the colors and changing the name. In some cases, the densities have changed because we've added some residential categories, so we're making that adjustment. We're not looking at making any changes if somebody has residential today. On a commercial, planned property. We're not doing that at this time. When we come back and we update the various land use plans for all the communities, that's when we'll get into a deeper dive on parcels and colors. After I should start with a little bit of background, sorry about that. I don't know if you recall, I was here a few months ago when we talked about the policies for the Northwest County. But Transform Clark County is the project we're working on. It's the initiative where we are updating, complete overhaul of our development code and our master plan. We start this in January of 2020, and we expect to complete it in December of 2022. So 3 full years. The master plan, we stay on track. And so far we are. We're looking at an adoption date in November. Zoning non-code, Title 3, that will be November next year. I did backwards, sorry about that. So,
gotta keep it interesting.
So if you have any questions, any comments, concerns, one last thing, I don't know if you had a chance to go online and look at the map, because we do have a report where you can look at the side-by-side, and you zoom in and out, and scroll around, it moves at the same time, so you can see how the changes are taking place.
You want to open up the public until we look?
Yep, we'll open up to the public for any comments or questions.
So you said that we added residential density, some changes, some additions to the categories. Does that change anything out here? I know we got some rural, and that's the only reason I ask, because that's a big issue out here, right? So those densities are huge for us out here.
Stays the same. Those changes affect Las Vegas Valley.
Okay, that's what I figured. Then the QDs and kind of stuff is kind of going to be the same deal. So that was my big question. Is that other than that?
Any other questions from the board? Comments? Okay. Are you also doing the flooding updates?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
You might as well just move out here. I mean, you're here enough now.
Yeah, come on, Mario.
Grew up in the city. I don't know if I could live in a rural area. The idea is great, but
the implementation, not so much.
We are. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And now we're going to have a flooding update for discussion only.
So that would be me. And so we're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah. And
okay. So so we were able to hear from our folks within the county as far as what's going to take place near the fairgrounds. So a bit of an update. So the grant was submitted to the BLM in July 2016, and we received that from them January 2020. So it's in the works. And then as far as the dam that was taken down, that we had to take down because of Army Corps of Engineers, an application was submitted to the state December 2019, and the permit was received May of this year. So now we'll have to work on the engineering portion of it, but the dam will be placed back in that area behind the power near the power plant.
So that's the one that would affect my property?
Yes.
We are getting that back. So.
It just has to be engineered.
We have to work with the federal government on that. It's obviously their process, but we're permitted to be able to move forward. But now we'll be proceeding with the engineering portion of it.
Is there any kind of a timeline on that?
Well, it was just received May 2021, so the engineering, I would have to get back to on that. I don't
I think it's helpful to understand too that the everything's got to come through the federal government, which is ridiculous to sort of start with. And so that permitting process has to come through the federal government, which generally takes 5 to 10 years to get the permitting done through the federal government. And then one of the standards the federal government is going to put forward is that this has to be built and it has to have some safety factors put into it, which is what requires the engineering. So the engineering is going to take some time. And then on top of that, it's going to still have to go through the bidding process per normal. So it's not a project that's going to be done in the next 6 months. We're probably looking at closer to two years, I would imagine,
least.
Because it has to follow the process. So they're going to make them probably do an environmental impact study on it to make sure that no desert tortoises or any other endangered species are getting hurt. And that's something that's, the commissioner is working really hard at trying to get it done, and she's made progress, which, to be fair to our commissioner now, that this has just recently got into her hands. I mean, the ball's been dropped for a really long time. Tom Collins didn't do anybody in this valley any favors with it.
I talked to Marilyn about this about 5 years ago.
Well, Marilyn hasn't been in for 5 years, so.
No.
Yes, she has. She's in the second term.
So she's worked on it, and like I said, it's a slow process. It's gonna be a while. It's still gonna have to go through the process. It's still gonna have to go through the bidding process. And once a project is bid and actually awarded, you're still 6 months to the beginning of construction. So that's just standard government contracts. So it's gonna be a while. It's coming. It is. There's that project, and then the one up by the ball fields. There's $13 million, and it's just on the environmental project. It's about acquiring the land. So they had to go through the process of actually buying land from people so they had the right of way to actually build these projects. So it's not just something they can say, hey, I want to put a dam here, or I want to put a catch basin here, let's just do it. There's a whole process that, before we even get to the point where we can even start designing anything, there's a process that has to take place through the federal government. And the federal government actually, since it is a watershed, and since that water actually is designed to go into Lake Mead, and since this is the basin that water goes into, there's a water rights issue as well. So they've got to make sure all those ducks are in a row before they even submit the application to the federal government. The federal government then looks at it and says, hey, here's what's going on, and we're going to look at the watershed and make sure that everything's kosher and everything can be protected in that watershed. Then they'll issue the permit. Once the permit's in hand, then you can start doing the engineering. You can't even start doing the engineering until you have a permit in hand, because you can't get the budget and money to actually do the engineering. Because they're not going to budget money for a project that isn't even on the horizon. So it's a process, and I know it's frustrating. I understand it. I 100% get it. But it does take time. And so what we can do is be supportive as a community is, you know, if there's an environmental thing where we're going to have to go to the federal government and make statements, we go to the federal government and make those statements. But I think it's coming. It's just not coming in 6 months.
Okay, what about the retention basins
and the rental flood? So, like I just said, one has already been budgeted for $13 million. They have to get all the land bought. They have to buy the right of way. So, I will tell you the one detention basin is $13 million. The budget that we put into that money, into the flood control fund, to pay that $13 million would have taken us 30 years. So all of it's been prioritized. They've come out and looked at it. The federal government's come out and looked at it. The state's come out and looked at it. The county's come out and looked at it. They've prioritized basins by risk. So the first one they're gonna do is the one above the ball field, because that was the greatest risk. The second one they do is wherever the next greatest risk is. They're gonna put the dam back, which hopefully will solve some of the issues with that flooding there. So they have a kind of a master plan. But I will tell you this. I will tell you this. If you let me finish, I will tell you this. The master plan is probably going to change after this last flood event. So there were areas of flooding in this valley that they did not ever see before. So they have come back out with FEMA and actually remapped the area to see where the problems were and where we need to make some corrections to what the master plan of the flooding plan is, so we can do that. 30 years to build one of these detention bases, what it would cost our tax money, from what we produce in this valley to make it happen. And originally that wasn't even, we were told it was gonna be 30 years regardless.
We were told 15 years ago it would be 15 to 20 years.
And Marilyn has done that.
So that was 30 years.
Marilyn's got it done in the time that she's been in office to where we have $13 million go to the first one.
Well, I suggest, Brian, that you look at the flood plan and trying to get it originally in there, and then go back to your 30-year plan, because there was never 30 years in that plan. So don't feed me.
That's the budget. That's what it would take for us to pay for it.
I know what the budget is. I worked for the county for 10 years, and you're not correct.
Well, that is what Regional Flood Control District came before this board and told us when I was on the board the first time.
Perhaps you should read the plan.
It's not in the plan. It's in the tax revenue. So the tax revenue, a portion of our tax revenue goes to the Regional Flood Control District.
Yes, it does.
And that portion of tax revenue, what we produce in tax revenue.
Okay, quit talking to me and ignoring what I'm telling you. Read the plan.
I get what the plan says. You still have to have tax revenue to pay for it.
I don't think you've ever read the plan based on what you're saying.
You still have to have tax revenue to pay for
it. I agree with that. But
so you can't pay for something you don't have tax revenue for.
The budget as well, Ryan.
To a certain degree, so they prioritize. So what got priority out of all the master plans? Guess where got the priority? The Las Vegas Valley, because they produce the tax revenue to pay for it. We don't, and so we were told, and I will tell you, we were told probably 3 or 4 years ago, because the last time I was on the board, that the reason nothing had got done is because there's no tax revenue to pay for it, and in order to pay for it, it would take us about 30 years of the tax revenue at the current rate to pay for it, and they were working on how they were going to resolve that issue.
They've been working on resolving that issue for
50
years.
They're going to continue working on it. And we can't, as a board, we can't tell them how to do it. They have their own board.
However, you could help prioritize it and push it.
It's already being prioritized and pushed. We have one of the detention basins is already in progress of being going into work. So they're already buying the land. They're already putting the right-of-way in. So that is the first step. You can't have it all at once. There's no way you're going to get all three of them built at the same time. It's not going to happen. You're going to get one.
I didn't say it was, but why should it? It was supposed to be in there, built in there, in the plan, more than 20 years ago, that is passed already. Then why hasn't the board prioritized it?
It's not the board that's prioritizing. It's the county commissioner. The county commissioner that appointed his own board.
We don't get to talk to the commissioners and try to help them prioritize what is necessary.
We had nothing to do with it. This board wasn't even around.
That's not true, Brian. I know exactly what this board is.
Okay, you tell me. 20 years ago, I was on the board.
You as a board get to tell the county commissioners what the priorities for this community.
And the county commissioner has to listen to the board, which we did not have that until Ms. Kirkpatrick came in.
That is not
on the board.
True.
It is true.
It is not true because we had two commissioners. Tom was not the only one for a great number of years.
So we can live in the past or we can move forward.
So, we could do what we're supposed to be doing instead of saying, it's not been doing anything, it's only Maryland now.
So I'm telling you right now, there's a plan to put a $13 million catch basin in and a plan to fix the illegally built dam. So we are moving forward to make it better. It's not going to get better all at once. I don't care what the plan said and what the master plan said for 20 years ago. It doesn't matter. We can only do what's in the budget to do. And so, those budgets are always changing. I can tell you there's a master plan for everything and it doesn't come past first contact usually. Because what happens is tax revenue is never the same. Permitting issues come up. There's all sorts of issues. I can tell you the Las Vegas Valley Water District had a master plan to build this great, huge McCullough lateral pipeline. Guess what? That master plan has completely gone away. And that plan has now come into a different pipeline. It takes four different routes. So it's everything is constantly shifting. I will tell you that they are working to make it better. It's not going to happen overnight. But this is better than we've had in 20 years. And so you're not going to get everything at once. It's not going to happen. Let's move forward and get what we can, what we can. And when that project's done, then we push for the next one. And that's all we can really do. And I will tell you that our commissioner, as far as commissioners go, she listens to what the board has to say. And she knows the issues and she's working at resolving the issues. So we've started resolving two of the big ones. already. And it's just, so at 13 million on the first one, so I've got to have another 30 million at least to build the next two, and that's if they're the same exact size. That's not accounting for inflation or anything else. So we're going to have a $13 million one now, and it's probably going to be another 5 years before we get another $13 million to build another one. It's just, that's just the reality of it. And do I want, would I like to see them all built tomorrow? Absolutely.
I can.
We would love it, but we don't have the money to do that. If we were flush with tax revenue, we were creating $50 million a year in tax revenue that we had available to do it, absolutely. Go build them as soon as you can, but we don't. We're not even making the $13 million to pay for it. So that money's got to come from somewhere else in the county budget to pay for it. So I understand it's frustrating. I understand there's passion to it, but you have to understand that nobody on this board made that decision. But what's happened is this board...
Nobody said that anybody on the board made the decision, but you are repeating yourself, Laverne, and I would appreciate it if you would stop.
Does anyone else have any questions?
I guess. So, I...
State your name, please.
Taylor Levitt, LAVITT, 1150 West Cottonwood Avenue. So we live over, most of us here live over Cottonwood's swap. So, like I said, sorry, I didn't even know what this plan was. I don't know if this plan will help our neighborhood at all. But I'm just wondering, doesn't need to be million-dollar dams built over there to fix it. I mean, these old-timers have been in the neighborhood for years to tell you exactly what needs to be done. And, I mean, the ditches are clogged half the time. You know, it would be simple maintenance and simple solutions to get our part. And the sad part is, every time it rains more than 10, 15 minutes, our neighborhoods are toast. You know, we've lived there 3 years now, and I mean, once or twice a summer, completely surrounds our house. So I'm not, you know, no one, I'm not accusing anyone here of anything, but I'm just wondering if that's part of the plan, that area over there, timeline, if we could do some temporary fixes. So I'm sure, like I said, most people who live there know exactly why water runs that the way it does now, and they can tell you what needs to be done.
I will tell you that there's the dam should fix some of that issue. The problem is, if we go out and do temporary fixes that all the locals and the old timers know how to do, we're right back in the same situation as we were before, right? Because what happens is it's on BLM land, a lot of it. So the ditches are the irrigation company, and I don't know whether those ones are privately maintained or maintained by the irrigation company. So that's a maintenance issue.
The ditches on Cottonwood.
On Cottonwood, you have a lot of pipe that was placed by private homeowners. It's honestly illegal for it to even be there. It's different size pipes. It's at different elevations. I know that you have a neighbor that is working with Public Works right now to try and come to some sort of resolution with that, but it does include private property.
Okay.
And that's the difficult part is, so if we go on to BLM land, which is what we'd have to do to put like a temporary dam or something up, BLM's gonna come in and take it down because it's not permitted to be its purpose. And the reason they gave for taking the old one down is it was unsafe, right? So if it had a breach or a failure, it's unsafe. And I know it sucks, right? Because it's gonna take a bit, but I think getting the permanent dam put back in will help quite a bit up there. But it's not a super easy issue. If it was an easy issue and the county owned the land, the county could just go up and do the work, that'd be great, but it's just not reality. So we need to fix it, and I know we're working on it, and I know it's not the answer everybody wants to hear. You guys, I know, want to hear, and I understand it. You guys want to hear, hey, we're going to fix it tomorrow, and I don't have to ever worry about it again. I get it, because I'd be the same way if it was my property too. But the reality is it's got to go through the process. And I know the commissioner is doing everything she can to speed up the process from where we're at, but it's going to take time. So the federal government on that part is going to, I think it's going to be a little bit easier because it's just going to be the engineering part, and the federal government owns the land, so it'll be working in partnership with the federal government to make sure that we have everything we need up there. The part that's a little tougher is when we go to do catch basements and stuff like that, because anybody that has any of that right-of-way land that they still own,
the county actually has to either go get an agreement from them or actually purchase the land from them. So it takes time. It takes time. And then if somebody doesn't want to sell the land, then it's got to go through a legal process. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes into that whole thing. It's not a super, it's a very complicated problem.
Yeah, that, I understand that, but I mean, my issue is the same as hers. It's 3.5 years ago, it flooded like that. Almost, for us, it's passed it recently. And we lost $5,000 worth of lumber that was sitting in our yard. It was ruined. And I came to a board meeting and said the same thing when we were over here, and it was the same kind of, you know, we're doing a study, we're working on it, you know, and now, I don't think a thing is.
But it has. That's why you have the permit now, because it takes the federal government can take up to 5 to 10 years to get a permit to the federal government, and so we have a permit now. She's been working on getting a permit. Now that we have the permit in hand, the county can start working on how we have to do the engineering. So they can put it through their engineering group, and so now that we have that physical permit, which without working towards that, we wouldn't even have been that far. Because before, when I first came on the board, before we had that flood, when I first came on the board, there was not even any talk about going to get a permit, right? It was like, well, the dam's gone, there's nothing we can do about it. And so the commissioners actually worked with our partners in the federal government to actually be able to make that process move forward. And like I said, I get it, but trust me, we've moved the ball. It's not as far as we would like to move the ball. We would all like to see this have been a process where, like, you know what, let's go build the dam tomorrow and be done with it. But we just physically can't. So now we've got to the point where we got a permit, we can start working towards doing that, but it's still gonna take a little bit more time. You know, and
we're still having to coordinate with the state to do it.
Yeah, I get it. I get it's frustrating. I understand it. I get we all want it done right now. We really do, and I know the commissioner's working on it. We've had conversations about it because it's one of the biggest issues we have in the valley, to be honest with you,
yes.
Is flooding, right? And so what kind of throws a monkey into the works is when we have a thing like this last flood event. So it was an abnormal flood event that came from an abnormal direction. Any of the places that were, some of the places that had really bad flooding always have bad flooding, still had some flooding. Some places that usually see flooding got no flooding, and places that have never seen flooding got devastated. So it's how do you, now the federal government wants to come in and look at that and see, okay, is this plan the right plan? Do we need to change it to adjust for this last flooding event? So we're still moving forward with what we can on those two. And then as we get those two done, then we can start working further to see kind of where we need to make the adjustments and make everything work. Like I said, I think once we get the dam back up, I think it'll solve a lot of the watershed coming off of that hill.
Yes.
And I think it'll limit the impact. I don't know that it's going to completely eliminate it, but I think it'll limit the impact quite a bit.
I need to clarify this. The levee that was breached because the Army Corps of Engineers and the state or whatever wanted it gone. Is the causing the problem coming down through districts, down by your place, around there?
Cottonwoods, yes, that affects them also. And then it comes along the tracks and right up by us and...
Yeah, which dam are we talking about? I'm sure that
I think the one in Cottonwood you're asking, on the plan, they've got another potential place.
But there were fives that the state made them.
Right. And in the master plan, I believe the flood control plan, there's a detention basin plan for up there. Another $12 million detention basin that we've got to wait 30 years for.
Well, and hopefully we don't have to wait 30 years. Hopefully we can get it done a little faster than that. But
Kurt Lytle, LYTLE, 1174 West Cottonwood. And between that house and the one next door, so I've been there for over 20 years. And I understand what you're saying, and I empathize with the whole governmental process. I'm pretty familiar with it. Take all that out. What I've noticed over those 20 years is that the way the water flows is different, and of course it's always going to be different based upon the type of storm or whatever happens. And you know, it's the different developments, the wind is always going to be influencing whatever. And I'm not the expert in drainage and all that sort of thing, but what I would request of the board, and something that I think would be helpful, I know to me and I think to the community, to better understand really what the issues are. Like when you talk about a detention basin or a dam or this or that, I think it'd be really helpful to have from the county some of the drainage engineers come out with drawings and things that we can actually look at and maybe have available at the community center or somewhere, so that we can actually see where the water comes from and maybe different types of storms, different years, how it impacted certain areas. Because I know in our neighborhood there on Cottonwood that things have changed a lot. And I feel for these young guys, you know, building homes and things. And I'm so tired of replacing landscapes. The last time I just went out and tried to have fun of it, you know, because there's nothing else you can do. But to know at least where this water is coming from and the different proposals and thoughts and theories even, something, I think would allow the community to have a little more empathy for the governmental process and why it's not a quick fix solution as far as regardless of what you build somewhere. So that's my request to the board to see if we can get the soil engineers, the drainage engineers to come out with drawings so that we can become better educated on really what the issues seem to be. And just so we can all speak
same language.
Intelligent.
I think Amelia and I actually talked about it when this issue first happened. So we've been kind of back and forth a little bit about whether this was even the right forum for this, right? So as a county board, we have very limited control. And as the county, there's very limited control from the commissioner's office over flood control issues. So that's actually a completely separate board with regional flood control that actually handles a lot of that. But when Amelia and I talked about it, we talked about maybe having some sort of article in the paper where we had regional flood control come in and say, hey, this is what the plan is, this is what the plan for the future is. But I think you're right. I think it might not be a bad thing to talk to the commissioner, maybe see if we can get regional flood control to come out here with their engineers and kind of with what their studies are showing and kind of how the master plan even is going to help and what the impact would be from the first two phases of this, the first detention basin and the dam, and see what the overall impact they think is going to be. Because it may eliminate a lot of the problems and it may create other problems in other places. Because I can tell you that when we did the river, when we made the ugly concrete basin over there, that when we did that, it's actually solved some of the flooding issues to a certain point upstream from there. So that's helped, that's reduced it, but it's caused some other issues downstream. So it's gonna obviously change a little bit when we do that. When we change one thing, it's gonna have an effect on the other. So I think that's a great idea if we can maybe see about getting Maryland to see if we can maybe have a community meeting with them.
Yes.
Samantha at AT&T, I live at 1200 West Cottonwood. I just want to know where, you said three retention basins, right?
I did.
You did? Okay, I thought you said it too. I was just going to ask where the third one is. The first one is going to be a little bit.
I would have to look back at that plan and see where they are. I know there were three planned, and there was I think two of them are on the west and one of them is over here. So
is this plan available for the public to see?
You should be able to see it on the county site. I don't know where exactly. I mean, probably on the regional flood control district site. That's the other thing. I think there's a misnomer since it's a county, but with regional flood control district, what it is it's an entity that covers everybody, so all the entities. So every entity has a voice in what happens with regional flood control district money, when the projects get built, what projects get built. So North Las Vegas has a say, Clark County has a say, Henderson has a say. That whole region, so the regional flood control, that whole region has members on that board that make that decision on what money gets spent where. So it's not just even the county saying, hey, we're gonna prioritize Vegas over the rurals. It's actually the regional group making those decisions.
And that's where I think it'd be helpful with regional flood, county drainage engineers, they all come out, we have a big powwow, not a gripe session, but see and understand what it is that they can easily show it through diagrams, such where the water comes from, where the issues seem to be. Then I think that'll go a long way.
Yeah.
We're waiting for this.
No, absolutely. And I think the other thing that we can add with that, Amelia, maybe is having engineering from the county come out, talk about the design, planning, and construction process, and just kind of the timeline of that. So we can kind of say, hey, here's the problem, here's the proposed solution, here's what the timeline is from the time we realize there's a problem, then maybe not even necessarily realize there's a problem, so the time we have the money to get a structure done, how long it takes to get through that process as well, and what the process is going forward. Just, I think it would just bring a little bit of understanding, because for me, I have a pretty good knowledge of the construction process, especially working with government, because that's what I do. But there's a lot of people that don't have that same knowledge of how long it takes a process, a project from even inception to completion.
See, and that would also help too, because then they can show, well, these areas are controlled by the BLM, mm-hmm. the county controls this, right. And that way you can be able to change for the length of the process as well.
So, and then I don't know, and I know the commissioner has a tough time with evenings sometimes, but if we could do it in an evening meeting, because that's where we're going to probably have the most community impact as well. So.
When you say the federal government gave us the permit, is it just for the one retention basin?
So it's that permit is just for that particular dam. So they gave us the permit.
By the fairgrounds?
No, the one up on.
Over by the power plant.
So
there's a design OPD, is what you're saying?
Yes. So there's still the same process anytime we touch BLM land. So BLM, it requires a couple things when you go on to BLM land. You're gonna have to permit it, so there's an application process. We kind of got to see that with the solar project, right? So they were in the middle of their application process. Then on top of the application process, they make you do an environmental impact study. So you go out there and you see what animals are out there, what your impact's gonna be. And then after that, then they give you the okay to kind of start doing the design part of things. So once you kind of have those and you kind of know your footprint, then we can start doing design. But even once we know our footprint, we've done the environmental impact and we've done that section through the federal government, now I've got to go procure all the land. So if there's a landowner that has a right of way that the county would need to buy or purchase, then they have to start working on that. So that's going to take a little bit of time. And then on top of that, once that's done, then now we can finish the design. And so they start doing the design a ways out. And they have levels. There's like a 60%, an 80%, and 100%. And they don't finish 100% until they know that they've got all the right-of-way secured. And then once that's done, they do a final review internally, and then they open it up for a bidding process, which can take a couple months. And then after that, then it's a couple months sometimes before you start construction. And then it generally starts pretty slow. So there's a lot that goes into it. Yeah, the design phase takes a little bit, but they can start working on some of that stuff when we're going through the process, but some of it they can't really do until some of the process has got finished, so.
And I can tell you, we did get hung up on the environmental study portion of it.
We usually do, and the other thing we have to worry about in this area that a lot of projects don't have to worry about is, so we have some significant heritage areas where there's Indian artifacts and stuff like that. So there becomes a whole nother layer in there where there's certain requirements to go through that. And that's why when we talked about, there's a project, they're looking at the airport and some things at the airport, and people have talked about just shifting the airport back and leaving the road where it is. Well, you can't, because there's so many artifacts on the backside of that airport that land's not useful to us. So there's all that stuff, and it's cumbersome. It really is. It's a process that's not very much fun. And it's not a whole lot more fun when you start doing the construction either, because there are a lot more requirements on federal land than there would be on private land to build, because then you have to have your biologists out there and all this other stuff. And I don't know what this project's going to require for the detention basin, but a lot of times they'll make you come in and remove specific plants and move them to where you can replant them later. So the first part of this project would be just going in and taking out the plants that need to be removed and relocated. So.
Are there any other comments? Okay, we're going to move on to planning and zoning, which we have none. Now we're going to go to general business and review previous fiscal year budget requests and take public input regarding suggestions for the next budget request. And this is for possible action.
Your budget request is the last name, the ones from 2020, September 20th, that was voted upon. The ball fields, as you probably already know, Marilyn put in and applied for a grant, a sample grant, to be able to cover that. Luckily, with a lot of help in the community, we wrote hundreds of letters to support it.
Right.
So now we're waiting on approval, whether it's denied or approved.
That would be great.
And that would be a federal grant.
Federal grant, so the county would not have to fund that. Okay, the second is to fix and cover the rodeo arena bleachers and add a walkway. The bleachers need to be brought up to ADA standards, including handicap accessible seating. Lack of visibility is an issue because the bleachers are same height, and the board would like the walkway to be lowered so we could avoid visibility issues when the event goers are going to the concessions or using the restrooms. The third item talked about was extend the junior livestock's existing awning heading into the area by approximately 6 feet. Four is commercial septic for the fairgrounds. Clark County staff will work to identify a location. There are two possible sites, either the east side of the fairgrounds or at a site located just off the main boulevard. The fifth would be the 4-H building enlarged, livestock building there at the fairground. Six would be to add a splash pad to the Logandale Park. Seven would be new chairs with new existing storage racks for the community center. Eight is cover the existing practice arena with possible lighting. The board discussed looking at two possibilities, a brand new covered arena or covering the existing arena, and requested a cost comparison from Horseman's Park. And during the July 10th of 19 board meeting, Janice provided the cost of the Horseman's Park cover only in the amount of $4.777 million. Town board members discussed the possibility of a self-imposed tax, which could be added to the ballot during an election cycle. Nine would be a separately designated pickleball court to the Logandale Park. And then we did have a couple of others added. Shooting area with lights and maintained road. The north 200 acres of Hire on the east side of Hire. Description, the board needs the county and BLM to designate the area for the shooting park so residents can legally shoot there. Shooting at night would be more convenient because of the desert heat. Or number two would be construct a BMX track by fire station number 73. We would need a group similar to the way Little League runs the baseball games to run the track. It would be a club ran by volunteers who would maintain it. We have
and then
any?
I've heard, but don't know if it's true, that Terrible's may put in a dump station. I don't know if it's 100% true.
I thought the commissioner had said that that was one of the conditions of construction.
Yeah.
That was a condition, yeah.
I don't remember exactly, but that'll free that up if you want to.
Yeah, so we wouldn't have to have the septic at the fairgrounds.
I think that would still be a good thing to have.
Terrible's is a ways down.
Well, here's the way I look at it. There are
right now
there are
Mosquito Vegas.
And there is nothing for the idea was to be able to use that Parks and Rec area as more of an RV park as well. And so to do that, you have to have a commercial septic system. So I think as far as this community is concerned, I think part of my problem is both of the trailer parks are age restricted, and so some people aren't comfortable in those. That park with the fairgrounds would give people the opportunity to have somewhere to stay. I know there's some discussions of some other individuals coming in and building some facilities, and that would be great. But I think with the events that we have, with the hump and bumps and stuff like that, I think it would be nice to have some full hookups so we could use those within the county. So
right.
We can leave that there then.
Yes.
So I don't know if there's anything that you would like to take off or maybe just add to. We don't have to decide on that tonight. We'll have two more meetings before a final vote is made. So I don't know if anyone has any other suggestions.
I just, and I haven't problem with $5 million
for a covered arena. I do too.
It'd be nice. It'd be wonderful. Great for a flush of cash, but.
And I think that I've heard folks comment that they're not sure that the cover would even make it better.
It would give shade, but it would hold heat in. Right.
So, I mean, it's up to you if you want to remove that.
And this item for me, as a personal thing for me, I think this is more of a ballot initiative than a budget item. Because if we're going to go to the taxpayer and ask them to fund something, it wouldn't be coming out of our budget as SAP.
Right.
So these projects, to my understanding, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Amelia, these items are, if we have budget money available, we're putting it into the item priority list number one. But if we can find an item down the list that we can fit into the budget, we'll do that item first because it fits into that particular budget.
And just remember it's a wish list. So
it's going to happen. Yeah. Right.
And then.
Right. So I have a problem removing that one because it's not just adults using that. I mean, you've got kids, you've got the junior rodeo that comes in, you've got all kinds of people that come in, and nobody can use that area during the summer because it's too hot.
And they do, though. That's the problem.
But they have to go out at 5 o'clock in the morning to use it, or they have to be there at midnight to use it because it's too hot during the day. And I disagree with the fact that the cover won't help. Go stand in the shade, go stand in the sun, and see where it's coolest.
I think it was a comment that was made by a writer, as a matter of fact. I just remember.
Yeah, well, I disagree with whoever that person was. And when we put this on the ballot last year, there were 30 plus horse people in this meeting that wanted it on here. And I don't agree with the $5 million because I went through that proposal, and there were a lot of things on that proposal for that $5 million that I didn't see a necessity for. Now, I'm not I don't have any construction certificates or anything like that, but there were all kinds of things that I'm like, a cover doesn't include this. A cover doesn't include this.
Well, it does. And the $5 million is what I would expect for something like that. It's a prevailing wage job. It comes with an additional cost because of the way it's through the county. Anytime you do something through the government agencies, you can expect a 20 to 30% cost bump just from prevailing wage. This project with the expense would probably be required to be Buy American Act because it's going to have some probably state funding in it. So that's going to increase the cost. And just the cost of construction, a $4 million contract event in a public entity is really not much. I mean, it's literally a small building for $4 million. I mean, and especially now, this $4 million price is probably closer to six.
At least, yeah. So, also, how high would we have to go up with it because of the bleachers?
Well, you'd have to go
to see in.
Yeah, you'd have to go.
And how much shade are we actually going to get with the sun coming down from the sides and it's so far up?
The back arena, I'm not sure what's going on with the back arena because sometimes there's bleachers there and sometimes there's not. Right. But originally there was no bleachers there. So they've got these removable bleachers now.
It depends on the event because there are some events that they'll use that small arena for the younger classes and use the main arena for the older classes. So. It's just all good. And I'm okay with leaving it on. My issue is if it's going to be a bond issue, if we're going to ask the taxpayers to fund it with a bond issue, then it's not coming out of our budget.
And
so it's not a budget
that was part of the discussion. It doesn't have to remain on there. You can take that off completely. Anything that you don't like.
I mean, I'm okay. I would say, for me personally, I would say if we want to put it to the voter, we put it to the voter. The voter want it. They're going to say, yeah, we want it. We want to pay for it. But it won't come out. It wouldn't come out of the county standard budget. It'd be a separate budget item, just like when we built the community center. This was all bond funded, so it was all paid for by the taxpayer via vote. So for me, it just doesn't seem like it belongs there.
No, I agree.
But we can have a discussion. We got two more meetings, but we have to ratify the same budget twice, don't we, Amelia, in a row?
Three times.
Tonight and two more.
But if we change it, then we've got a.
No, well, it's an action item tonight, so it's just on your agenda 3 times.
And are we,
Can you answer me this question? I thought that we had originally, there was some budget to do a splash pad in Overton, right? And we know where we're at with the Overton splash pad. Because I know that was, for me, if there's an Overton splash pad, we need a Logandale splash pad.
And it was right. If Logandale, we need Overton.
Person that was pushing for it, but it was a completely separate board. So,
I think.
You don't have to keep anything on this list. You can change.
I think there's a lot of it, and I think. I guess we keep the ball fields on there, but it sounds like that's a pretty much a done deal. We're just waiting for the final.
Right.
She put in an application, so it's whether it gets accepted or not, but it does have a good chance of being.
Well, it was one of three finalists, right? On that one?
I'm not sure.
I believe it was one of three finalists that there might even be enough money to do all three of the projects, so hopefully that will happen.
And what I've had other boards do, so like Bunkerville, they have their simple project and they're working on that right now, but they chose to keep their items on the list until that Snipple project was completed and they had everything they had requested.
Right.
So
that makes sense.
Up to you how, and I think last time we voted on the budget, you chose to keep it on there until
we know.
So
right.
How agreeable would it be for everybody else to take item 2 and 8 and kind of combine them and we could do little pieces as we get money to do them? And actually, to be honest with you, we could do 2, 8, and 3. 3 is like,
right.
3 is almost no cost project. It's a couple of it.
Right.
And I think, if I remember right, we had somebody that was, we'd have to go with the Junior Livestock Association. I think we had somebody that was going to donate the material to make it happen.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
Patrick was looking into how that could work. So maybe I need to get with her about that one. But that's a pretty... It's a pretty minimal cost because what happened was it rains over that building and it's right where the pigs meet the livestock building. And so then that whole pig area is just solid mud during the fair. And that's, we all know what the fair's like around here with weather. So it was a request that came in. It's been on here. It's been on here since I was on the board and we were working on it since then. So maybe we can reach out. I can reach out to Corey and see if we still have the opportunity to get material for that. I know there's some issues with combining public, donations with county labor and, has to all be done prevailing wage. I understand. So it's just, we'll have to work kind of through some of those details where we can do that. But I think if we can kind of combine a couple items. And
2, 3, and 8 just mesh right together.
And just as we get, if we have a little bit of money, we look at those items. We work with the commissioner looking at these items if there's extra money. And she's been really good, I'll be honest with you, of finding money where there wasn't money before.
Right.
So we've got, I know.
So she says, let her know what you want. And she can't always get it right away, but when things come up, she'll remember and then she'll work.
I know the pool's almost done. So, that was one of the ones that probably needed to be done.
Yeah.
So,
too bad they had to do it in the middle of the summer, though.
Yeah, I know. And I think it was probably, I don't know, but I think it was probably scheduled earlier. Probably COVID probably ruined that.
We tried to stop it, but it was too late. We tried to get them to start a couple months after the back of the season. It was too late. But the contract had already been signed and can't.
And I think we can just rearrange some of these to change priority a little bit.
Yeah.
It was me,
You can also open it.
Anyone in the public have any comments about any of these items?
I will add too that the shooting range deal. So if we work through the county grant department, there's actually a program through the NRA where the program will foot most of the cost for an NRA approved shooting facility. And the deal is, if you have an NRA-approved facility, you cannot limit it to NRA members only. It can't be a members-only club. So it's required that anybody be able to use that range. So some of these are, I think, things that we can work with the county and their grants department and seeing what grants we could possibly apply for to make
some of this stuff happen. Because we can do it for free. Let's do it for free.
Amen.
If we do this for free and then I can get something else because I don't have to put money into this, I think we're better
yes.
to start it. So I try to be fiscally responsible when I can with the public
yeah,
money.
I can put you in an email with our friends' folks.
Okay. Yeah, I just think, we got a kind of a report cut out with us to find out where we want things to be and kind of agree
right.
with the board.
Yeah.
But I don't know that we necessarily need to take anything off if it just stays on there and we just never get to it. I just think
we'll just reword it.
Yeah,
because
I think
we're prioritizing here on this cover. So you can just omit that last sentence.
And I've just seen in history, we've had a lot of these projects sit on here to die and we just keep putting them on here. And, you know, for a long time, I'm excited. There is no community center on this list with a massive pool because at $30 to $60 million, it's just
there's one in the lump.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen. It's not going to. And I don't think anybody here would be happy if I showed them their tax bill when that
no,
came up.
We'd all
so,
love it, but we don't
yeah,
want that cost.
So
then
so,
you have to pay every time you go in too.
We're at least kind of getting a little bit better. I mean, it's not our money to spend, so. But yeah, like I said, I think my suggestion would be we all kind of go over and work it in our heads where we think things should rank and
right.
sit down as a board
next
and
month.
Just kind of rework
yeah.
priorities.
Yeah,
if you don't have
agreed.
To make any decisions tonight, you can if you want to, but next meeting, if you have it more refined and then want to change it, then we'll make those changes. We'll vote on it at that point, and then we'll have another meeting where you are going to
find and just,
sounds good.
So everybody knows that the BMX thing. It's come up every time we do a budget, it comes up. This was already tried once. That's the big pit over by the fire station right on the corner there. It just never really got the use that it should have. So I know Gene was one of the ones that was like, he didn't ever want to see it on the budget again. I'm okay with it. I think it could kind of work well over there if we kind of did some other things, because I know we've got the new racetrack that they're doing temporarily until they can figure out a permanent solution. So it would be something
yeah.
if we could kind of have some events to kind of boost that community and bring some more people in. So if you had an actual BMX track where we could do a race or two a year, where you could bring some economic impact into the valley with that, I don't think it's a bad
like
idea.
Like you said, it's temporary what's taking place there.
Yes.
So they can't, it has to be
they have to take it
they
down.
They have to take it down because it's a vulnerable to the community, so not one. There's no one person that can go and take over a certain area, and then it's no longer available to the other taxpayers.
So, and I maybe would add that, maybe add a suggestion that we maybe look at the feasibility of having a more permanent facility that, but I don't know if liability county-wise how that would work, but maybe having a permanent. More permanent racing facility for those kids.
Well, currently, right now, I think they have insurance. Not, I think they have to.
Well, they have to because they're on county property and
right.
that. But I don't know if we put a permanent facility in, what the liability would be on the county at that point.
It might end up being the same. So, like, they would just have to show that they have insurance, just like with the rodeo. They have to. They're required to carry.
Perfect. Every event would have to have insurance.
I think that's something we consider adding to the list. Just because, like I said, right now, the only points races that they have in that particular league are all here in Moapa Valley. And the ones that they have in Beaver Dam are only practice events. They don't, there's nothing to them. So if we could bring that event on a regular basis out here where you got people from out of state coming in, and then it would be more important to have the facilities at the fairgrounds to be able to have the commercial sewer system and stuff like that
yeah.
to maintain that. So just something to keep in the back of our minds.
Any other comments about the budget? Okay, this time it's comments by the general public, a period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board council's jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on a matter not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Again, if you wish to speak, stand up, clearly state your name and address, and spell your last name. Yes, sir.
When is it that you talk about the road paving list, or is there still such a thing?
We do have a list, but nothing is going to be added to that list until the roads that are currently on that list have been paved. We've been able to do, I think, somewhere around 6 roads up until this point. And then the Logan trails will also be a part of that. Other than that, we're not adding anything until we've been able to take other roads off the list.
What if you're powerful and influential?
I think Trent came before the board. I think you guys are on the list, aren't you, if I remember right? Yeah, no, Trent.
Oh.
No. I think you guys, didn't you come before the board about your role?
I'm not. That's my brother.
Oh, okay. Trent came. He came and he's on the list, I know for sure. I don't know about your guys over there, Kurt. So.
But what you're saying is that until that list gets used up, you're not going to really make up a new list.
Correct.
Where are you now on the list?
I actually can send you what's currently on there in an email if you'd like. Just make sure that you see me afterwards.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other comments?
That's going off of the gas tax. So whatever's collected through there, that is what pays for the paving projects.
Any other comments?
Okay, so I got a question. We are currently in the process. My dad is Rob Briggs. We're in the process of subdividing 1290 West Cotton area. And they approved our plans. We have an easement going up to Cotton for the back 7 acres. But they said they want us to pave Willow, which is a huge area. So I'm just wondering how I go about bringing that before you guys. Like, how do I appeal that?
You'd have to go to the commissioner.
And I think once the commissioner looks at it, she has to go through a variance, a waiver, and conditions, and then it would come back to us, and then it would go back to the county commission.
Yeah, because we're not even using it. Like, we won't even, my dad won't even have an address on it. His address will still be off of
Cotton. What's the address?
1200 Cotton, West Cotton.
So it's going to be in the middle of the property, basically, is what you're saying.
So it's like 10 acres. It's really long and thin. My husband and I are going to buy the first 3 acres from him, so we're subdividing off the first 3 acres, and there's going to be a 40-foot easement off the side of it so that his address will be in the back, but it will still be on the Cotton. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, our next meeting will be September 15th, 2021, and we are adjourned.